Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. My name is TJ Jackson, and with me is my eldest brother, Taj Jackson.
What's going on, T?
Nothing much, Taj. Nothing much. We are live, of course, on Facebook and YouTube. So you may be watching us right now. We want to thank you for joining. But you also may be listening to us via the podcast. That is right. We are on all the major podcast platforms. So we want to thank you guys for listening. But if you didn't know about our podcast, go check it out. It's an easy way to get the content in your ears and to be able to stay up to date if for some reason you cannot watch our show. With that said, I want to say one thing. We also have Twitter at DDJ Foundation. We have Facebook, of course, a presence there. And our Instagram handle is at DD Jackson Foundation. Everything is spelled out. DEEDEE Jackson Foundation. Of course, if you want to learn more about what we are and who we are and what we do, you can do so at www.ddjf.org. Four letters, ddjf.org. All right. Taj, we have a disclaimer because neither one of us are doctors, of course. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. And we like to share our opinion in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Please, please, please do not just rely on us. Taj Jackson, I am curious to know how your week has went.
You know, TJ, you ask me this every show. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that I'm like trying to figure out what I did this week. I know one of the things, one of the highlights was obviously, you know, we got to see grandma.
Yeah.
And, that is always takes precedence and trumps everything else that I do in the week. So just seeing her was it's always a blessing. I'll say that. And then, you know, a bunch of the cousins were there. So, you know, I had a great week. Let's just say that.
Good. You know? Good.
Yeah.
My week, similar. I think the highlight was seeing grandma, but it was also, you know, the kids are back in school. So we're getting some free time, which is always a good thing. everything is good. I'm in the first, today's date is January 11th. And I am 11 days into my transformation. It's going very well. Even though the goal, I mean, it is one of the goals, but I've been dropping some weight. But more importantly, I've been feeling better. I've really incorporated yoga into my life. And that has been a huge, huge, beautiful thing. Not just for the physical benefits, but also for the mental and spiritual benefits. So I've been enjoying my yoga practice and I'm happy I'm doing it. So that's what I've been up to. I've been going almost daily. I feel freshened and refreshed and it's really, really cool. So I have nothing else to say except the year's off to a good start for me.
Good job.
So, but Taj, we have a really special guest on our show. It's a wonderful, wonderful person on the Power of Love Show. Today, we are welcoming Brian D. Smith. Brian holds many titles, including, but not limited to, life coach, grief partner, author, and a podcast host. Brian's life journey has given him a unique perspective on the human experience with an appreciation for both the joys and the sorrows he's encountered along the way. With his wife of 30 years, he raised two beautiful, competent, compassionate, and independent daughters. In June of 2015, however, his youngest daughter, Shayna, suddenly and unexpectedly passed from this life into the next life at the tender age of 15. With Shayna's passing, Brian experienced the most profound loss anyone can suffer. He had to learn to survive his grief for the sake of his wife and his oldest daughter. Having been deeply scarred by toxic religion as a young man, Brian had instilled in him an intense fear of death, a fear that he would have to learn to overcome with a lifelong spiritual quest. After Shayna's transition, his spiritual quest intensified, prompted by the extraordinary vision and messages he received from her after her death. As a result of those experiences, he immersed himself in researching concepts of the afterlife, taking a scientific as well as a spiritual and philosophical approach to it. With his life coaching and grief work, Brian's mission is to help people rediscover who they are and why they are here. In those two questions, lie the secrets to not only surviving this life, but thriving. Brian believes that if you're feeling stuck, it's most likely because you have forgotten the answer to one or both of these questions. Brian's vision is to create a world where everyone has a sense of purpose and fulfillment. If we know the why, we can endure any how. He wants to remind everyone of their true nature and their reason for being. He has studied the nature of life and death and how to progress through grief of all kinds, from a job loss to divorce to illness and the death of a loved one. Brian speaks from experience on all of the above examples of grief. As a grief guide, Brian aims to provide a safe space where you can safely share what you are experiencing. He shares techniques that he discovered and developed after his devastating loss, and perhaps most importantly, he helps his clients understand that death is not goodbye and that your relationship with your loved one can continue. He believes that any ending is a new beginning. Shortly after Shayna's transition, Brian discovered Helping Parents Heal, a nonprofit peer-to-peer support group for parents of children who have passed. He volunteers with Helping Parents Heal and is a member of their board of directors. He has worked with hundreds of parents who have lost children. Brian is the author of Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, How to Survive and Thrive After Life's Greatest Challenges, as well as the host and creator of the Grief to Growth podcast. All right, that was a lot, but we got through it. Obviously an amazing, amazing person who is giving back to the world. So I'm excited to have him here on behalf of Taj and the entire foundation. Without much further ado, please welcome everyone, Brian D. Smith, to the Power of Love show. Here we go. Brian, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. I'm sorry that intro was so long.
No, you are good. Don't you worry about it at all. One of your many, many impressive titles is Grief Partner, and your bio states that you have experienced various forms of grief firsthand, brought on by different life circumstances such as divorce, job loss, illness, and of course, the loss of a loved one. How have you learned to navigate these different bouts of grief in your own life?
Well, as it says, through personal experience. And, you know, when it comes to grief, we think of grief as a loss of a loved one, which of course it is, but grief can be the loss of anything. It could be a job, it could be a relationship, it could be your health. We grieve all those different types of things. So I've learned to navigate that through just the school of hard knocks. Been around a long time, been through a lot, you know, been divorced, been fired from a couple of jobs. If all of us go through the loss of a loved one, if we're here long enough, it's not a unique human experience, even though it's unique to each one of us as we go through it. And through a lot of studying of philosophy, science, religion, various religions, and integrating all those things into the techniques that I use today.
That's wonderful. I have another question. For most people, when they experience any type of loss, they go through a very difficult time, you know, it takes them time to refine themselves or to refine, mm-hmm. reclaim life. Has going through different types of grief helped you learn how to handle it? And I know you have a lot of experience, you know, you're a writer, you're a podcaster as well. My second part of that question is, do you even have tough days? Do you have tough moments considering you have all this information and have helped so many get through it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is absolutely. I do have tough days. I do have tough moments. I think that's the nature of being human. I believe we live in a world that's really almost a video game. It's a dream. It's an illusion that we have these losses, but they're very real to us and the pain is very real. So I have this perspective that I try to hold, but the world's always pushing back against it. And society pushes back against it. Society tells us that we are our bodies, that, and then when our bodies end, when our brains stop functioning, that's the end. Society tells us if we see a loved one leave their body, that that's the end of them. And so we're always pushing back against that, those constraints that society puts on us. And yeah, I have my very human moments on a regular basis, which is why I think that grief is actually, it's a practice. It's something we have to work at. It's hard work. It's exhausting sometimes, but that's part of the process. It's part of the journey.
Mm. How did you kind of restructure or reframe? That's a better way to say it. How did you reframe? Because I agree with you. I think our society, I almost said does a terrible job, but I'm going to be somewhat generous and say does a bad job at preparing us for loss and grief. Mm-hmm. I've said this many times, and you watch a big sporting event, the winners are the ones who are celebrated. The winners are the ones who go to Disneyland, and we just kind of forget the losers and what they have to go through and what they put through, even in something like sports. Mm-hmm. And even with loss, when a friend or a family member or a classmate or a coworker loses someone, oftentimes we don't know what to say to help them. You know, it's such a mysterious topic in a sense that we don't know what to do. So one question is, from all this experience, what would you advise someone? And I've asked this question so many times to so many different guests, and I have a feeling you may say what everyone has said, which is perfectly fine. I think it's something that we need to get in our head because we don't do it well enough. But what would you say to someone who is lost in how to help their friend, their coworker, their whoever who's going through a serious bout with grief?
Well, first thing I would say is we're never responsible for how someone else feels. So we feel like we want to heal that other person. We feel like we want to make them feel better. And there's two reasons for that. One is we want them to feel better, but the other is we don't like being around people that are sad because it makes us sad and it makes us uncomfortable. So people will say silly things, sometimes stupid things, to try to cheer us up, to try to bypass the grief, to try to bypass the process that we have to go through. The best thing to say is, I understand you're going through a really tough time. I understand this sucks. I don't know exactly how it feels, but I know it feels terrible. And I'm here to listen to you if you want to talk. I think that's the best thing to say to somebody. It's not, there's no magic words that's going to cure it. Avoiding it, sometimes people will avoid it, especially someone that's lost a child like I have, because they don't want to, quote, make you sad, or they don't want to make you think about your loved one. We're always thinking about our loved ones, you know? We like to hear our kids' names. We like to hear our mother's names, those people that have passed. We like talking about them. So don't fear so much saying the wrong thing, but just don't try to fix it. Just be there.
Nice. Love that. You spoke about being a father who has lost a child. That is, I honestly feel the most difficult loss to get through, most challenging loss. And first of all, on behalf of my brother and our entire foundation, our entire community, we send our love and condolences to you. I know some time has passed, but still, it's something that I know can only assume is a challenge every day. And again, I just want to thank you for being here and being open with our community. My question is, do you think your life's experiences could have prepared you in some way for the passing of your daughter at a young age? And if so, how?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ironically, before my daughter passed, I thought the world was a cruel, cold, uncaring, random place. Since my daughter's passed, I believe that there's a reason for everything that happens. And whether we find that reason or make that reason, or whether you believe it's built into the design of the universe, either one's okay. I happen to believe it's built into the design. So as I look back over my life now, I started off, as you mentioned in the bio, I was raised in a toxic religious environment, I'll call it. I was scared of God. I was scared of hell. And then when I came out of that, I was scared there was no afterlife. So, you know, I grew up in all this fear. And I had a fear of sudden death. I just knew I was going to die young. And because of that, I dug deep and started studying, again, my faith, which was Christianity, other faiths, science, philosophy. What does anybody have to say about all this? And I really dug deep, and I was really pretty comfortable with death when my daughter passed. And I was never expecting that to happen to her. But when it did happen, the one thing I didn't have to go through, and this was a blessing for me, I never had to worry whether she was okay or whether she was still in existence. Those two thoughts never crossed my mind. I always knew that she was okay. So I never grieved for her. I grieved for me.
That's very powerful, Brian. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Taj, you have a question or you want? And by the way, to our community who's watching live, if you guys have any questions, please let us know. I have a lot of questions. So I want to make sure the community knows.
Brian, was that basically just through all your studying and stuff and research in terms of, or just your reconnecting in terms of when you said that you had no question about, you know, was she okay in that?
It was both. You know, when she passed, I had already studied mediumship, near-death experiences, afterlife communications, just reading book after book after book, watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, etc. And not too long after Shayna passed, and what I didn't realize up until that point was I could continue my relationship with her. I knew that people continued, but I thought they continued in heaven, out there. And a little bit after she passed, I was like, okay, I need to know where she is. This is, I think, maybe unique to parents. You know, when you have little kids, and she was 15 when she passed, you always know where they are. The most important thing in your life is to know that they're okay. When an older person dies, we can say, okay, well, they're in heaven, you know, and we'll see you later. When your child dies, it's like, I need to know, you know, I need to communicate. So 6 weeks after she passed, I asked her for a very specific sign, and I got it. And I started asking for more signs, and I started getting more signs. So we have an ongoing communication even to this day. It's been 7.5 years, but she still communicates with me in various ways.
So talking about communicating in various ways, Kat wants to know, has your daughter come to you in your dreams, Brian?
Yeah, she has come to me in dreams. Yeah, she is. She's always younger because I remember when she was like 4 years old. That's my favorite time. Okay, you know. When she was like between 4 and 7. So she comes to me in that form usually. But she comes to me in other ways too, like signs, finding coins, finding feathers, weird behavior by birds, playing with my computer, playing with my cell phone, turning lights on and off, you know, just very, very, very various ways.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, signs and synchronicities, have you personally, because you mentioned that in the bio, but you just listed some, so I think we're good for that. Now, your business, Brian, is called Grief to Growth. Mm-hmm. How did you come up with this name, and what does it mean or represent to you?
Well, it comes from a verse from the Bible where Jesus talks about unless the seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it falls to the ground and dies, it produces much fruit. So when we suffer this grief event, at least for me, I felt like my life was over. I felt like I was buried. When you bury something, you're putting it away. It's not coming back. And what I realized is that when we go through these grief events, we're more like planted. So when a seed is planted, you know, it's dark, it's cold, it's lonely. But with the right amount of time and with sunlight and with water, that seed can grow and grow into something mightier than it was when it went into the ground. And I believe that's what a grief event can be for us. It can be an event that puts us underground, that makes us feel like this is the end. And I'm telling you, I thought it was the end for me. I never thought I'd be able to recover, to use that word. But I realized that I could. And I realized that's what Jesus was talking about. Like we have to kind of become, you know, almost die to what we are to be born into something else.
Hmm. It's powerful. You got some quotes on you, Brian. So one facet of grief to growth is your book entitled Fully Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, How to Survive and Thrive After Life's Greatest Challenges. What inspired you to write this book? What can readers expect from your book? And what is your mission with the book? What do you hope readers will take away from reading it?
Yeah. What inspired me to write the book was there's not a lot out there on grief because grief is very uncomfortable. And so the first is like what you're going through is normal. And I don't care what it is you're going through because we go through shock. We go through loss. We go through numbness. We go through sadness. We go through guilt. We go through depression. Some people eat too much. Some people stop eating. Some people drink too much. Some people can't sleep. All those things are normal. I also want to give people hope that you can, I don't like the word recover because grief is not a disease, but we can learn to deal with this. I look at grief because people ask me, does it get easier? And I'm like, I'm not going to say it gets easier. I think what happens is we get stronger. So it's like if you lift weights, you were talking about, you know, your reset for the year. So if you go to the gym and you lift weights, when you first start lifting a weight, it's heavy, right? It feels terrible. But after a while, you build strength and it feels lighter. And I think that's the way grief is. I think we still carry it with us. So what I want to do in the book is to tell people, this is kind of what you can expect. It's different for everybody, but this is what you can kind of expect. I tell people things not to say to someone that's grieving. I tell people some things that you might want to try saying to people who are grieving. And I try to, but really in everything I do, I want to give people hope. I want to give people hope that this is not the end, that you can find purpose again in life. You can find joy again in life. And it's really a matter of choice. It's really a matter of saying, this is what I want to do with this event that happened to me.
I have a screen up that shows that the book is available on Amazon as an ebook or paperback. But something that Taj is going to really like and appreciate is that it's also available on Audible. It's you who is reading who's doing the narrating. So what was that experience like? Is it a different? Let me ask it this way. Is it any different getting the Audible book versus the regular book, in your opinion, Brian?
They're the exact same text. Okay. The reason I thought the Audible was really important is because in grief, especially in early grief, you have what I call grief fog. You can't read. You can't concentrate. You can't focus. You'll read the same thing over and over again and not know what you just read. So I thought it was really important to have the Audible book out there for people that just want to be able to listen. And I was inspired by an audio, frankly, that someone had put out about grief that I listened to. I remember my wife and I lying on the bed listening to it together. So this is an experience of like, if say you're a couple that is going through this, you could listen to the book together. So nice. I wanted to have that experience available.
Now,
This is for all the people because we have a lot of guests that come on and some of them don't have Audible Audible versions or audio versions of their book. Was it an easy process? This is just purely a technical thing, but sure. Just to give them hope in that way, was it something, you know, hard to do, or was it something that, you know, I mean, and obviously it was beneficial to you and you wanted to do it. And I appreciate that because I love Audible and I love audiobooks in general, but just to give them a little hope of, you know, it's not as intimidating or not as hard.
There are actually a couple of ways to do it. I mean, Amazon makes it easy. Kindle Direct Publishing. A lot of people will hire somebody to read the book for you. So that's easy, but it costs you money. If you're someone that doesn't want to invest a lot of money, doesn't have a lot of money, you can do it yourself. Now, I do recommend you get a decent microphone. I sent my files off to someone to clean them up and master them for me because they have pretty high standards at Amazon. So you can't just slap anything up there. And I think I had been doing the podcast for a while and I'm a technical guy to begin with. So you can do it, but you can hire someone to do it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I'm happy you did it in that way. Cause when you said that you and your partner, whoever it is, can listen as well. Sometimes that helps because it helps break the ice as well in that way. Yeah. You guys can talk about what it is that you've just heard or just
My wife and I did that. A person who's become a friend since then, she put out an audible and so I, or an audio, and I listened to that. And so when I knew when I wrote the book, it's like I need to put out an audible format because I still, it's been 7.5 years, but I still remember that experience with my wife, you know, lying in the bed listening to that together.
Jennifer Serenity says, thank you for the advice on what to say and not to say to others who are grieving. And Jennifer also says, please request the book at your library, ebook, paper, hard book, and Audible. Love it, Jennifer. Okay. So, and another element that you have going on, Brian, is your business is a podcast also called Grief to Growth. What made it motivated you to launch this project, and what sorts of guests do you have on your podcast? And of course, what topics can listeners expect to hear about?
Yeah. So on the podcast, it's really, again, it's all about hope. So I have people who have overcome just incredible tragedies that are extremely inspiring, because if you listen to it, you're like, if they can get through that, then I can get through what I'm going through. So I have those people. I have afterlife experts, people who have studied the afterlife either scientifically or people who have communicated with people in the afterlife. So those are the two general categories. A lot of times it is about the afterlife, because I think we really have one life. We talk about this life and the afterlife, but it's really just one life. We transition from one to the other. And I want to make that as seamless as possible for people. You know, we avoid talking about death, but it's the one thing that we all know is going to happen to every one of us when we're born. Mm-hmm. If you're born, you're going to make that transition. It's not a tragedy. It's part of the plan. We're not meant to be here forever. Bodies are not designed to be here forever. And at 61 years old, I can tell you my body is telling me it's not designed to be here forever. And that's okay. That's part of the design. So accepting these transitions and feeling out, how do I integrate this experience into my life to not ruin my life when something like, you know, a child passes. So that's kind of where that comes from.
I'll go first to, there's one more comment I wanted to highlight from Summer Violence, who says, where can we find the podcast?
Everywhere.
It's
Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. It's on all the major streaming platforms.
Okay. Now Soleil wants to know, hey Brian, do you ever feel any survivor guilt?
That's a great question. And that's very common, right? Because where survivor guilt comes from is that our loved one who's passed is either gone or they're just like ephemeral. They're less than they were before. So I felt that. My daughter was 15 and a half when she passed. She was so excited about getting her driver's license. She was a few weeks away from being able to start working on her temps. She didn't get to go to prom. She's just never going to get married. So when you go through all those things and you feel guilty, that shifts when you realize that when people pass into the afterlife, that they become the true eternal beings that we all are, that they lose all the constraints of the body. My daughter had very serious rheumatoid arthritis. It was under control of medication. She still played, you know, sports and stuff. But when you realize that they're happy, they're healthy, they're whole, you don't have to worry about them anymore. So no, I don't feel survivor's guilt anymore. I always hesitate when I say this because people take it the wrong way, but I look forward to seeing my daughter again. Okay. And that's, I look forward to when my time comes. I hope it's no time soon, but I don't fear that, and I don't feel guilty that she went before I did. I also happen to believe in multiple lives. I don't believe we live just one life. This time she happened to live to 15. Maybe the next time she'll live till she's 90. Maybe she already has. I mean, so I don't feel like she's missed out on anything, so I don't feel guilty at all.
Love that. Love that. Love that. Georgina wants to know, I wonder if the picture behind him is his daughter. So beautiful.
Yeah. My daughter. That was taken a few weeks before she passed. So she's literally and figuratively over my shoulder all the time. So started doing the podcast, I had a fake background at first, and there was a picture of another woman up there, and someone one day said, "Is that your daughter?" And I'm like, "No." And I heard my daughter saying to me, "But you need to put me in the background."
So that's why she's there. Love it. Yes.
So, Brian, you also offer life coaching as part of what you do. What is your coaching style with clients? Who would be a good candidate to work with you? And someone who is looking for what exactly? What would you say is the perfect client for you? Or so what? Who can you provide the work best for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm a general life coach. So I work with anybody that wants a life coach. But because of my circumstance, of course, I deal mostly with people in grief. I'm actually working on a program. I'm not quite ready to announce it now, but I'm working on a program because I found that people want a kind of a structured thing. Right now, it's one-on-one coaching. It's hourly. We do it by Zoom. And it's you don't have to have any particular beliefs, but I always tell people, I'm very spiritual in my approach because I believe we're spirit beings. And I don't mean woo-woo, and I don't mean religious. I'm very scientific. I'm very rational. I don't ask anybody to believe anything. I'm going to come with evidence. And I'm going to come with evidence to you as to why, you know, it's not what it appears to be. It's not like, you know, your loved one is dead and gone and you're never going to see them again. So that's very much my approach. When it comes to grief, there was the, you know, the kind of the original approach of grief counseling was, it's over. Get over the attachment. Move on. Let's figure out how to break this attachment with the loved one. It's an unhealthy attachment. We've realized that doesn't work. The better approach, the better model was called continuing bonds. How do we continue the relationship? How do we keep that person in our lives? How do we move forward as opposed to moving on? I hate the phrase moving on. When I heard that, I would think of my daughter passed June 24th, 2015. And every day I'm getting a day farther away from that. Every day I'm forgetting a little bit more about her. Every day I'm moving away from her. And when I switched that perspective to moving forward, that she's still with me and can still be part of my life and still can inspire me and is looking at everything I'm doing and proud of me, and I'm going to see her again, I can get through this moment and I can look forward to the next moment. And every moment I'm getting closer to that day of reunion. So that's the approach I take with people. And try to instill that confidence in them and let them understand really, again, who we are and why you're here. And if you understand that, then you can endure all the crap that we have to go through while we're here.
Georgina has a nice question. Well, first she wants to know, are you also a singer, Brian? You have a great voice.
No, I'm not at all. Not at all. Not even a little bit.
But Georgina wanted to know, regarding Shayna, does she have a favorite place to be? And does it help you if you go there? You are very strong, sir.
You know, what's really interesting about that. When Shayna passed, we decided what to do with her body. And I'm very careful with my language, not what we did with her, but what we do with her body, because we're not our bodies. When we pass, we step out of our body. So, you know, it's like cremation or burial. And neither one is appealing if you think the person's their body, right? So we decided to have her body cremated because I did not want to have a place, because when we go back to spirit, we're not bound by time or space. So Shayna is with me all the time. I tell people this. I have another daughter, Kayla, who lives about 6 miles from me, and I see her every few weeks. I talk to her only when I see her. I talk to Shayna every day. Shayna is everywhere I am. So there is no place. Now, when she first passed, her room, it was hard for me to go in her room. Her mother likes to go in her room, and her mother liked to go in there. It was hard for me. So I do kind of associate that place with her because that was, you know, it was her room that she grew up in. But really, no, she's with me all the time.
That's a great answer. Toria is curious to know in the bio, I believe she wants to know, can you tell us more about the toxic religion experience you had to face if it's not too personal? No worries if it is.
No.
But she's curious.
I have to be very careful with this because, you know, it can come across as saying I'm anti-religion, which I'm not. Religion brings people great comfort and great peace. And if it works for you, that's fantastic. But I was taught about a God who was vengeful, who said that we, had, by virtue of being born, that we deserve to be sent to eternal torment. I was taught about a God that was exclusive, that if you didn't believe the right things, he would be done with you. And that just didn't work for me. And that caused me all kinds of panic attacks. And I could not love that God. And serving that God to me was only serving out of fear. And I just couldn't do it. So what I have since found is that that is an interpretation of the true God. That's an interpretation, one interpretation of the Bible, which I believe is a bad interpretation, by the way. There's all kinds of mistakes in the Bible, some intentional, because of people trying to keep us under control. So that was a toxic religion that I grew up with. And I had to deconstruct my faith. I had to take every element of it apart. And that's what I'm an engineer. So when I was a little kid, I used to take things apart. So I took it all apart. What part of this makes sense? What part of this doesn't make sense? One of my ancestors is Thomas Jefferson. And he famously said, you know, the Bible is full of diamonds and dung. And we have to separate the diamonds from the dung. And that's true of any religion. So I'm like, deconstruct it, tear it all apart, build it back up from the ground up. So that's what I've done.
Understood. Good answer. Now, Brian, you are known for saying that everything works out for the best. Why do you believe this, especially given the amount of grief you have faced in your life?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I did not believe it for a long time. And I would read that in the Bible and I'm like, that's not true. I see bad things happen. But the bad things that we see happen are, first of all, from one perspective, and we don't understand the big picture while we're in the body. We don't know what good's going to come of it. And they're all temporary. So there's a great story, and I won't take the time to tell it, but there's a great Taoist story about a farmer who loses a horse, and he goes through all these iterations. People probably know the story. But every time his neighbors come up to him and say, that's a really bad thing, or that's a really good thing. And he says, we'll see. When you get to be my age, you realize that when something happens, we have a very limited perspective. And a real quick example is I got fired from a job when my daughter was 9 months old. Bad thing, right? Not a good thing to be out without a job. My wife's staying at home. We have one income, got a brand new baby. Long story short, I got another job making three times as much money. It's the most money I've ever made in my life. I would have never taken that risk if I hadn't been fired from my job. Mm-hmm. So having that perspective, and I love what John Lennon said. He said, everything works out in the end. Everything will be okay. Everything will be okay in the end. If everything is not okay, it's not the end. So whenever you're going through difficulty, just understand this isn't the end. This isn't the end. And if things aren't good, it's not the end.
Yeah, that's great. You have some wonderful comments, but I'm going to save them to the end. Well, I should say, well, first, Taj, do you have any other questions or comments for Brian before I get to the final one?
No, I mean, this has been amazing in terms of just learning about it. I'm a very spiritual person in that way. Very common to you, Brian, in that way of, you know, the religious beliefs versus spirituality aspect of it. I consider myself very much more spiritual. Mm-hmm. In that way, with my mom, obviously, it was weird because I never doubted that she was, when she was murdered, I never doubted that she was gone from me in that way. I always felt her around me or with me. I didn't have the same confirmation that you have had in terms of certain things happening or whatever. I just have known she was there with me. A little jealous about that. I'll have to read or listen to your audiobook to pick up on more clues on how to do that. But I never questioned it either in terms of that. I always felt my mom close to me and watching over me in that way. And so what you've been saying is very helpful to me because it's reassuring in that way. So I look forward to hearing your audiobook.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's a couple comments I want to get to. Then what we do is, as I mentioned before we even started, Brian, we'll give you whatever you want to share with the community, whatever you want to leave them with. But there's some comments I'd like to highlight. Jennifer says, sounds like a James Baldwin experience in saying toxic religion. Baldwin doesn't use this specific language, but read his book, Go Tell It on the Mountain. I get it. Ang Buhe Lola says, my nephew just committed suicide on January 6th, was pronounced dead by 8:12 p.m. I took care of him. He died of a broken heart and with PTSD. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan war, and he was in the army. Before I get to the next comment, Brian, I would love for you to just maybe give Aang some advice or some words of what she's going through, maybe as a niece, I believe. As an aunt, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. losing her nephew. And then if there's anything you think she should do for her sibling who just lost a child.
Yeah, suicide is tough. And even the language that we use, committed suicide, is a word, it's a language we're trying not to use anymore in the grief community. Died by suicide is the language that we use because there's a lot of judgment around suicide, around the person who took their life, around the people who didn't know and couldn't stop them. Usually there's a lot of compound emotions around that. So I would just say to anybody involved, do not feel guilty. No matter how we transition, we are always loved. We are always supported. I think people that take their own lives are supported even more because they need more support. And the more we need, the more we get. So I'm very, very sorry for your loss. And I know that there's a lot of complicated emotions around that. So I would say, you know, try to alleviate the guilt as much as you can that the parents are probably or maybe carrying. It's not everybody's the same. But a lot of times that anger turns inward because we feel like we should have stopped them. And I've worked with a lot of parents that have gone through that.
Mm. Another really important comment that I'd love for you to touch on is from Pamela, who says, my son passed away 14 years ago. We still don't have any answers to what led up to his death. How do I accept and let go?
Wow. I wish we had a lot more time. Very common also. My daughter passed in her sleep of an undiagnosed heart condition. She did have a heart condition, but that was not life-threatening. People ask me all the time, did you know it was going to happen? How did it? We don't know. I mean, and people want to have answers, and I understand that. But having the answer, you have to ask yourself, how is it going to change now? How is it going to change the circumstance I'm in now? If I did know the answer, would it bring me peace and would it bring me satisfaction? Probably not. What I have learned is that people, when they die, the death process itself is not painful. People don't suffer. People might suffer and be in pain up till death, but the death process is not painful. No one dies alone. So don't worry about, you know, them being alone or being, you know, scared. But I gently try to pry that question away from people by saying, you know, what difference would it make? How would it change things if you did know? And a lot of times parents assume the worst. Don't assume the best. You know, listen to the people that have had near-death experiences who were in car accidents, for example, and said, I left the accident before the truck impacted me. Or people who took their own lives and that have come back through mediums, et cetera, and said, it was peaceful. I was here and I was there. Mm-hmm. So don't assume the worst. Just assume the best.
Yeah. And if I could just add to that, Brian, because for me, when I lost, you know, when we lost our mother, I had just turned 16 and I was going through a lot of struggle trying to understand. My biggest thing was my conception of her being in a lot of pain, mm-hmm. and going through the most excruciating pain. And that was one of the most difficult things for me to get through. And it wasn't until I read, I'm blanking on her name, but it's Embraced by the Light. I believe it's
Betty Eady.
Yeah, I was about to say Betty, but I didn't know the last name. I read her book at 16, probably the latter part of my 16. And that really, really changed my trajectory in my grief life. Because like you said, it just restructured or repainted the process, my understanding of the process from this life to transitioning. Yeah. And, you know, it was a similar thing. If you study those who have went through near-death experiences, it's a lot more tranquil and a lot more peaceful than what the movies show or that we are conditioned to think. And that was a huge help for me. You know, obviously we always grieve. It's never, you know, as you said, well, that I've never heard before. It's not that the grief goes away. You just get stronger and learn to deal with it better. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you saying that because I can completely relate with that, you know, and I just wanted to say that.
If I could just real quick, I
want to please.
Story.
Absolutely.
Dr. Mary Neal.
Take your time.
Brown, Dr. Mary Neal was in a kayaking accident in Costa Rica, I think it was, and drowned. And she said the worst, her biggest fear was drowning. You know, she was a world-class kayaker. But she described as she's under the water, she could hear her legs breaking and she felt no pain. She drowned and she felt no discomfort. And she says now, she says, if I have to go again or when I have to go again, I want to drown.
Wow.
Described it as a very peaceful experience. So we imagine the worst. And there's hundreds of these stories where people will say, I left my body or something comes over us. And there's a profound sense of peace as we're making that transition. And even in violent deaths, a lot of times the spirit will just leave the body and then observe.
That's powerful. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Brian. Before I start giving out all of your information and asking you where can people learn more about you, I want to give you the floor. This is the time where you could share with our community whatever it is you want to leave them with. Again, it could be any topic, your favorite movie, your favorite article, your favorite book, your favorite quote, your favorite anything, your favorite hot chocolate. I don't care. I just want to know what does Brian D. Smith want to leave our community with?
Well, this topic, as you might be able to tell, is my passion. So favorite, you mentioned favorite movies. My favorite movie is The Wizard of Oz. And I didn't realize how deep that movie was when I was a kid. But when I was a kid, it came on once a year, you know. And it's funny now that I watch it. Every time I watch it, I get something else from it. But my other favorite movie is What Dreams May Come. And I think they got a lot of stuff right about the afterlife in that movie. So, you know, you were saying earlier before we started, we like to keep the show kind of light. So we'll end with that. But hopefully everything I said is lightening the burden for people, because this life is temporary. This life is painful. I think it's painful by design. And that may sound weird. We'll have to come back and talk about that maybe another time, but it'll be okay. Everything is going to be okay.
That's wonderful. Brian D. Smith, everyone, let me put this out. He has a book called Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, How to Survive and Thrive After Life's Greatest Challenges. It's available on Amazon as an ebook and a paperback. Also available on Audible. It's read by Mr. Smith. And there's also a podcast Brian does called Grief to Growth, available on all the major podcast streaming platforms. You could start on at www.grief2grief, that is the number two, so G-R-I-E-F 2, the number two, growth.com. That's for those of you who are listening on a podcast. And you can also follow Brian at grief2growth. Again, everything is with the number two, so it's not T-O, but at grief2growth. He's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Brian, is it okay if I put up this email?
Yeah, that's fine. And just one more thing I want to add is for your listeners, I have a gift. If you go to my website, grieftogrowth.com/gems, G-E-M-S, there's a free download that you can get that's four steps that you can use when you're going through grief.
Oh, wonderful.
I love it. So grieftogrowth/gems.
/gems, G-E-M-S.
Right here, everyone. So if you're watching, grieftogrowth.com/gems.
Yes.
And Brian, they can also email you at brian@grieftogrowth.com.
Absolutely.
I will say this, Brian. There's been such wonderful feedback from you. Janine did a super chat saying, Brian, your words are powerful. Thank you for sharing with us. We need this type of guidance. Jennifer, many others, but Jennifer you had so many wonderful quotes. I'm going to go through some of them. Grief is not a disease. Jennifer also liked, we almost have to die to become something else. Caitlin liked, it doesn't get easier, we get stronger. Jennifer, again, we are not our bodies. I loved every single one of these quotes, and they're all very, I don't want to say fresh, but they're all very unique and a different, simple way to understand things. So I really appreciate you. You know, without you, these quotes don't exist, because I'm a quote guy, Brian. I don't know if you could tell. I absolutely love quotes. So I appreciate you for your gems. Let me see what else. There was a couple other things. I know some people were, oh, here we go. Jennifer says, we need a part two, please and thank you. And then Dee says, great advice, good advice, Brian. And then Kat, in reference to your story, says, wow, really? I worried Gabriel had pain and woke up, but they say he died in his sleep. So I, again, on behalf of my brother Taj, and our community and our entire foundation, want to thank you, Brian, because you have a great way of connecting in a very easy to understand way on such a difficult, challenging topic, at least difficult and challenging because we make it that way. Mm-hmm. But I, again, just on behalf of all of us, thank you for your time and for all the wisdom you gave us. And please come back.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Anything else for everyone else? Again, you can go to www.grief2growth.com to learn more about Brian and to see all he is up to. For everyone else, we are going to be signing off. We are back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. with another episode of Power of Love. And again, we want to just thank you guys for watching and listening and supporting our foundation. Love to you always. Brian, anything else you want to say before I close it?
No, just thanks for having me.
All right. That's it, you guys. Please be safe and take care of yourselves. Adios, everyone.